All right, second hour here on Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie and Rexroad, proudly sponsored by Chuck McDowell Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser producing, Robbie Stanley off today, PK, Paul Kaharski in for him. And we've also audibled this week with Charles Robinson, who tells me he's on a plane tomorrow during his normal time. So today we're getting Charles. So Charles, you haven't just been like hanging out in Vegas for like four extra days, right? I mean, if you have, yeah. I got mad respect for that. Mad respect, like, if that's the case.
No, I did stay an extra day because I foolishly waited until like a week before the Super Bowl to book a ticket, and flying in was like, you know, because you go in a full week before. I think flying in was like $200, and then flying out was like $1,000. And so I got the, why did you wait so long to book your flight out? So I ended up staying an extra day, and I actually flew out yesterday afternoon because it was significantly cheaper. But I swear I just slept most of Tuesday. Vegas Super Bowl, I expect it will end up in the rotation, the league's rotation. Like, I always feel like there's a rotation of cities where they would like to visit most. And to me, it's like Miami, New Orleans, used to be San Diego. Obviously it's not anymore, but you know, LA I think is one. And I think they'll probably punch Las Vegas in there just because of, I think the popularity of the game, the number of people who showed up, the sports books did really well. You know, I think the casinos weren't super happy because NFL fans who show up, it's a different kind of a betting crowd. You know, you don't have a ton of people hitting the blackjack tables. Instead, they all hit the sports books. So it's sort of a different type of profit for casinos. But I think all in all, they felt pretty good about, you know, how the Las Vegas Super Bowl went. Actually, interestingly enough, and I don't think anybody's reported this, most expensive average ticket in the history of the Super Bowl. I got the data yesterday from a couple of different places, and it ended up being the most expensive average ticket in the history of the Super Bowl. Like, I want to say, you know, like $9,000, between $9,000 and $10,000. So it was an insanely expensive Super Bowl to get into. The week itself was interesting. You know, if you were there, when you hit Friday, Vegas was gridlock. It was like a parking lot. It was crazy. You couldn't go anywhere. I had to get to a site that was about a mile away from my hotel on Saturday. And, I didn't have a lot of time. So I jumped in an Uber and it said like 13 minutes, right? It was an hour and like 10 minutes in Uber to go a mile. And I was like, yeah, this probably, we could have figured out the transit a little bit better. But all in all, I think it went pretty well for Vegas. And, you know, from an entertainment value standpoint, I think people had a lot of fun. And then if you get an overtime game in the Super Bowl, nobody's complaining about that.
Well, real quick before we get to the game, Charles, you're talking about the rotation. I personally fully expect, but I don't know, that down the road here, as they build this new stadium here, that Nashville is going to be not just a place that gets a Super Bowl, but I think a place that, and I'd like your thoughts too, PK, a place that'll be in that rotation too somewhat regularly. You guys agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's another city that, but as you said, you know, it depends on infrastructure, but you get a new stadium and then it's a game changer, I think, for Nashville, but it fits the template. They don't want, when it comes to the, you know, the Super Bowl, they don't want to have a bunch of cities in there where it's going to be inclement weather problems, you know, things like that. I think as long as you can illustrate that, A, you're willing to lean into infrastructure, which is to have a new stadium, B, you can figure out the transit, and, you know, C, there's enough opportunity to spread it out a little bit. That was the one thing about Vegas, is very compact, which was interesting. You know, and in some ways that's good, but then you kind of have the gridlock from a travel standpoint. I don't think they're overly worried about that, especially if the entertainment options are there and the partnership options are there. Whereas, you know, like Nashville, look, the draft, I think that to me, they look at the draft experience in Nashville and they're like, God, that was great. Right. You know, it's one of the best drafts in the history of the game. Weirdly enough, I think the draft's travel ability is, I don't want to say they factored in massively, but I think they do look at the draft and they're like, look, we can plan a draft somewhere and it goes really, really well. Why not consider that potentially being a Super Bowl rotation city if, again, the sort of location and the weather aspects really fit? They don't want to do a lot of, having been in the Minneapolis Super Bowl, I can tell you the Minneapolis Super Bowl, was in New York a few years ago, even like Dallas.
Well, they lucked out in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they did, right. New York, they lucked out. But I think they're smart enough to know that those are sort of the one-offs. You know, they don't want to do that a ton. You know, they really want to have a consistent rotation of, you know, five, maybe six max, and then occasionally still leverage moving it into cities for certain reasons. They use, obviously, infrastructure. It's still the carrot, I think, for a lot of cities and ownership groups that, hey, you know, if you're willing to build a new stadium or, you know, do the things that we feel are necessary to make you a top tier, a top echelon, you know, team during a regular season and over a period of decades, we're willing to sprinkle in a Super Bowl now and then. Which is why, by the way, you're going to see Dallas, you're going to see LA, between Stan Kroenke and Jerry Jones. They're constantly harping on the league. Let's make sure we're getting a Super Bowl every, you know, 5, 6, 7 years.
I think 70% of the people in Nashville could be within 2 miles and be foot traffic. But I think if you're in the 30% that's outside, it'd be a hellish experience. So, I mean, that's a win for those 70%. It'd be phenomenal.
I agree.
Yeah. The draft was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's a trade-off. It really is. It's I mean, look, even the Vegas one, the team hotels were like, what, 25 miles off the strip. And it was funny because we all kind of initially complained about it. And then once we kind of saw what the traffic situation was going to be as the week progressed, I was like, oh, I get this. Like, you don't want this situation with teams anywhere near the strip or, you know, needing to go anywhere near the strip after pretty much Wednesday of the week. It was pretty awful. But as you said, having that ability to be within 2 miles of really where everything's going on, I actually decided that Saturday after I dropped things off, I was like, all right, you know what? It took me an hour and 10 minutes to drop this off, you know, and go to this other casino. I was like, I'll just walk it myself the way back. And I think it was 1.4 miles I walked. But it gave me the ability to see, okay, let me see how fans are getting around. It was insane. I mean, there was a gazillion fans. Everybody was walking it. Everybody was on the strip. Everybody was going in and out of, you know, hotels, every other thing there. And that, to me, was really the illustration of where it had gone right, because almost everybody inside of like a 1 square mile radius was on foot and they were going in and out of everywhere nonstop from basically, you know, the break of dawn on Saturday until the game on Sunday. It couldn't have gone any better for Vegas.
So quickly, just your biggest takeaways from this game, like maybe the three biggest things, because obviously, I mean, I've been annoyed with a lot of this Shanahan discourse this week,
which
I think is hyperbolic as hell, and we can get into that a bit later. But what's the big two, three things that you take from this?
Well, first off, you know, Reed coming out afterward and saying he's not going anywhere. You know, that the whole week we talked about this, he wouldn't really answer the question. I think for this to hold together for Kansas City, because we talk about Mahomes and the Brady chase and like how much can the Chiefs maximize this, as much as it is, let's see how long Mahomes and Kelsey can stay together. Well, it's definitely Reed and Mahomes. How long can these two guys stay together? And I would look at the last play of the game where they run that corn dog formation again, which is the same thing they ran last year against Philly, the little slight alterations, but you know, Reed basically saying, you know, we're going to go back to a play we used last year, which is basically a motion with a wide receiver that forces DBs to change coverage at the last second and then take advantage of that and confuse them. That's really why they scored a touchdown and won the game at the end, running the same play that they had the year before. And it, in a weird way, shows, not even a weird way, it just shows the genius of Reed saying, hey, this worked. You know, we're in a pressure situation. The Niners probably are not thinking about this in this moment. And, you know, so I think one was Reed saying he was coming back. I think number two to me over the course of the week, it was just how Mahomes was. Like, I'm like, the whole week he seemed bored. Like, I don't, like, not in a negative way, just like a, I've been here so many times. Like, if I'm not here, I'm in the AFC title game. Like, it just was not too big for him at any point. And you're like, wow, already? He's sort of at this weird Brady moment where it's just like, all right, come on, let's get to the game. Like, I know, yeah, it's a Super Bowl. I'm always here. I feel like I'm always here. It's just such a tremendous advantage, I think, for the Chiefs. And then, you know, as you said, the 49ers, we can talk about this later. I thought what stuck out is just sort of seeing Kyle Shanahan once again in these situations to make decisions and not necessarily knowing whether or not he's going to make the right decisions or not, and how that reflects against the Chiefs, where I just think they're in this mode so often that we should talk about roster attrition with them, but if roster attrition doesn't strike them down, there's no reason to feel like the Chiefs are going to fall flat on their face unless something weirdly and unexpectedly catastrophic happens to a Patrick Mahomes, to a Steve Spagnuolo, to an Andy Reid. I hate to say it, but I almost feel like the Chiefs are better set up for continued dominance than even the Patriots were when they had the 10-year like gap for Brady after he won his third. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this offseason moving forward. But it's hard for me to continue to question them after this was clearly their toughest situation, their toughest roster to deal with. And yet you look at who they beat, Miami, Baltimore, San Francisco, to win this title. It's just a joke.
We'll be back with more from Charles Robinson. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 FM tomorrow night. Vanderbilt women's basketball takes on Texas A&M on the road. Pre-game 7:45, tip-off at 8, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show. We got Charles Robinson for another segment. Paul Kaharsky, you have a question?
Not that the summer won't be filled with this share of Jordan versus LeBron conversation, but will Brady versus Mahomes edge in on it now?
I think it should, you know. I think it's a worthy conversation now, you know. He had to win his third in 6 years as a starter, and it's funny to me that everyone makes the comparison to Jordan. Oh, he's Jordan. You know, Mahomes is Jordan. But to me, the way I looked at it, I even wrote this. I said, this feels to me like Tiger and Jack Nicklaus, right? Like Brady wins that seventh and it's like, he's Nicklaus, you know, with what was it, 18 majors. And you're like, that's some, you know, uncatchable. There's no way anybody's ever going to be able to do that. And then Tiger came out of the gate and just won so many in his first few years as a professional. And that's how I look at Mahomes. I'm like, this guy came out of the gate. It's insane. The fire that he had. Now, that said, what, he wins his third, a little over 28 years old. I think Tom won his third, a little over 27, like 28 and a half versus 27 and a half, something like that. And then what happened was Tom had that big, huge gap year where you saw, it was for multiple reasons. Obviously, he had the knee injury, but there were a lot of assistants that were hired away. Everybody dove in on the Patriots program and started pulling out players. They started pulling out assistant coaches. They didn't have the greatest offensive drafts for a period there. There were a lot of different reasons why Tom had sort of that decade gap of, you know, not winning a title. And that's the challenge now. I think for Mahomes, it's the challenge now for Kansas City to lose players, lose coaches, and figure out how to adapt to it. Now, Chris Jones, right? You're probably going to lose a transformative defensive tackle who's probably got a couple years of prime left. You know, I think on the market there's going to be some teams this offseason that'll say, hey, you know what, 3 years of guaranteed money for that guy, $75 million, you know, dollars that we're looking at committing to him over that span guaranteed. You lose him. I think you got a multitude of other guys. Willie Gay. I mean, there's a few others. They'll probably keep L'Jarius Sneed, the corner. they got to make some decisions here, basically, to keep some guys and let some guys go. And then Kelce after the game, interestingly enough, you know, he talked about, you got asked about, you know, he coming back next year. There's been some beyond just the Reed rumors of like, is he going to, you know, come back? There's also been some talk about maybe Kelce getting to the point where he's starting to think about the end of his career. He wouldn't commit to it. I wouldn't put a ton into that, but I think it's interesting that he, you know, I actually asked, I was the one who asked Reed. I was like, you coming back next year? And he was like, he's like, well, yeah, you know, he had the qualifier. I haven't really thought about it yet, but yeah, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be back. And, you know, Kelce didn't even give that. So you start to think about, all right, when Mahomes gets coaches taken away from him, eventually at some point Reed, when he gets players taken away from him at some point, Kelce, what's the adjustment ultimately look like? And that's going to factor into to the Brady, you know, conversation. It's still, even 3-6, it's still extremely hard to win a whole second Montana career, right? Win four more Super Bowls just to tie Brady. And let's extend it out. Let's say he's going to play until he's 40. Okay, well, that's, you know, 4 and 12 years. Pretty hard. Anybody who wins 4 and 12 years, you're like, okay, that's a Hall of Fame career. He's already had a Hall of Fame career in 3-6. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see, you know, whether they can keep it together. But I'll tell you what, the pressure is on their personnel department now. The pressure's on, you know, the cap guys now, because they're going to have to deal with a contract that's not as bad as it could potentially be moving forward with him. I think he'll be one of those give back guys where he'll adjust along the way to add talent. But it will never be on the level of Brady, where probably the most undersold piece of Brady's story over the course of his career was that he rarely, if ever, maximized the amount of money he could make, and that allowed them to keep a lot of talent. I, you know, even with Patrick Mahomes being a give-back guy, it's never going to be on the level of Brady.
Yeah, and if Mahomes is this excellent and he wins like 5 or whatever, he still will have a clear. This is my whole, we won't even get into it, but like the whole Montana is clearly like top 3 because he has the 4 rings, I reject out of hand, but we don't need to get
it. It never gets to Jordan, because Jordan didn't lose in the title.
Well, Montana didn't either.
Right.
So Jordan also had easier competitors in the 90s than the great teams of the dynasties of the 80s. So,
right, but that's why Brady, to me,
which beat the crap out of Jordan, by the way, in his prime. I mean, we don't need to do this, but we could do this.
Yeah, and it makes, honestly, it's the phone lines usually light up when you start talking about any of these guys and comparing them. But again, like, to me, that's why I go back to Tiger and Jack.
That's I like that comparison. I like that.
We were like, he's going to do it. He's going to make this run. Like, it was so clear it was going to happen. And then what happened? He got a little older.
Personal stuff, mostly,
I mean, look, other things set in. Like, there was a lot, you know, like, hey, next thing you know, they're like, the windows of an SUV are getting smashed out by golf clubs. There's like a whole other side of, like, what happens down the stretch. Physically, he changes, right? Becomes a bigger guy. There's more torque in his swing. All of a sudden, he's having knee troubles, back troubles. That's why Brady is so crazy, because when you look at the expanse of his career, he played forever and really only had 1 year that was dinged by health when he had the knee injury, which changed how quarterbacks were officiated in, you know, hits below the knee. And it's just so rare to see any player last that long. And by the way, another thing too, financially, I'll bet by the time he's 35, Patrick Mahomes will be, I mean, his net worth on and off the field together might be $1 billion by the time he's 35. And I truly believe that does factor into how players kind of look at themselves in the game. Because as it starts to wear on and you have all that money in the bank, you're like, how much longer am I going to put my body through this? And what am I really chasing? And it just becomes harder to chase that. But I'm with you guys when you talk about Jordan and just, you know, the overall dominance of Jordan because of the era he did it, the fact that he never really lost one, the fact that he took, you know, there was time in the middle where, you know, he dropped out. Now, let's be honest, I don't think the Rockets win those 2 titles if Jordan stays in the league those 2 years. But even when we watched The Last Dance, we saw the pressures that happen late in your career with teammates disagreeing, just the overall grind of it, mentally the toll that it takes. as hard as it is in the NBA, I think it's even harder in the NFL because you have so many other players on that roster, so many other teams, and then a league that I think even more than the NBA is just hell-driven at disassembling dominance. Like every single year, you know, you go into an offseason where you just want people taken off of a championship roster to try and force that team back in the middle.
Michael Jordan, 1-3 in playoff series against the Detroit Pistons, for the record.
No, I love that. Thank you. Thank you.
That's right. That's right. All right, real fast, Charles, to close here. Kyle Shanahan, the overtime thing. I mean, I'm here, people are sitting here talking about, like, amazing coaching gas, all this stuff. I mean, by every angle I can see it, it's a very 50-50 proposition. But I don't know. Is he taking too much crap?
I think he's taking too much crap from the standpoint of, like, I talked to somebody on their staff on Monday, and it was clear, even though Shanahan ducked it, like, their defense was really gassed. And this guy was like, look, he's like, go back and look at it. He was like, Bosa was completely gassed at the end of the game. He's like, we had multiple guys who were just wiped out. And he's like, look, if the analytics, it's close enough at that point, you don't want to throw those guys back on the field against Mahomes in that situation and basically feel like there's a really high percentage chance we're going to have to match a touchdown at this stage. So let's get out in front of it, keep the defense off the field. And then, you know, obviously, ideally, they would have scored a touchdown on that first drive. But, you know, I think people are underplaying the time that they were able to rest the defense in that scenario. And I get the straight up analytics, you know, aspect of it. I get the idea of knowing what you're going for by taking it second and overtime. You know, the Chiefs score a touchdown, then, okay, now you know you have to score a touchdown to match it. I understand all that, but I do think there's an in-game decision that has to be made, and maybe people aren't. And by the way, Shanahan also could have come out after the game and been like, look, I get all the analytics, guys, but we have human beings on that defense. It had been a tremendously difficult run down the stretch for those guys, and you know, we wanted to give them as much of a blow as possible. He didn't do that to take heat off of himself. He pretty much did the opposite. You know, so he deals with it in the wake of it. But, you know, it is what it is. I think he can be criticized on one hand. I think we're being realistic on the other hand, too, and understanding the game. The percentages were probably a lot closer than people want to say. But it's Mahomes, too. Like, that's the crazy thing is, like, how many times is this guy – you know, Sean McDermott's going to be on the hot seat because of Mahomes. I don't think Shanahan's going to be on the hot seat, but he's going to hear a lot, you know, next year because of Mahomes. Like, this is going to be, again, sort of like the Jordan effect, where how many people should have won titles or were in, you know, position to win titles, but they didn't because this guy existed. It's like Brady. How many people over the expanse of his career should have had more rings than they did, but he exists. He's able to do what he can do. And then, you know, he's paired with Reed, and it's a level of perfection with Kansas City that breaks other staffs in moments like that. And, you know, you just got to kind of deal with it. But I don't think we should just destroy Kyle over it. I mean, it was given where the defense was at that point. I understood the decision that was made.
Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports. Thank you for adjusting, my friend, and we will talk to you next week.
Safe travels. Thanks.
Absolutely, guys. Take care. Have a good week.
Too. Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports. And when we come back, we will react to a bit of Charles. And I don't know, people are still screaming at PK about the Pecorine statue, too. I guess we can get back into that, too. Robbie Rexha, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie Rexha, broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. By the way, tomorrow is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with us tomorrow morning at 8:45. Pick to Click's brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes, a Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Welcome back in. We thank Charles Robinson for joining us. If you'd like to get on the conversation, phone line, text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. At some point, we'll get to the trashing of PK from the Pecorine statue lovers. Also, people asking about the Vandy Hoops game. Have y'all talked Vandy Hoops yet? No. But they did get a great win last night, Ezra Manyone with the buzzer beater. But, you know, not a great season for Vanderbilt Hoops. Good for Ezra Manyone. He's been great all year. They have not been. But that's Texas A&M blows out Tennessee at home. comes in to Nashville last night and loses to one of the worst two teams in the SEC. We got a caller, Nate in Columbia. You got a Super Bowl thought, Nate?
Yes, guys. With Charles' comments about infrastructure and inclement weather, what do y'all think about the Middle Tennessee area with not as much, I'm going to say, winter weather infrastructure as the North when it comes to, you know, clearing roads and everything, because we close school when there are flurries. And you know, Super Bowl's played in where a month, so that is my main concern. By the way, PK, the Pekka statue is very warranted. I'm guessing you're saying it's not because he didn't win a ring.
I'm saying it's not because he played very recently, and statues are for guys who are, like, legendary over time. You put them up, like, 15, 20 years after they played, after they're in the Hall of Fame, all of that kind of stuff. We'll get back to that. Look,
Thank you, Nate.
You're counting on not a big winter storm. You roll the dice when you have it in Indianapolis, when you have it in Minnesota, when you have it in New York. Obviously, our weather is more favorable than that. And, you know, they're not going to have, you know, they'll have trucks ready and salt and all of that, but you're counting on not needing them.
Exactly. Like, I hear what Nate's saying, but ultimately, I think that the weather trends here are going to be favorable enough for them to not, for this to be rotational, whereas Minneapolis is every once in a great while. You throw one in Detroit, you throw one in New York when they get the new stadium. I think we'll be in the rotation here because, and I think that the weather, I mean, you know, look, we're going 61 today, 63 tomorrow, 59. Then you get into 41 with lows in the high 20s. But then you get, I mean, a week from today, high of 68. Like, the weather trend suggests you're probably looking at 50, 60s. Fine.
I think
it's not a.
I think the rhythm of the rotation is a little bit different for SoFi and New Orleans and probably Vegas than for Nashville, which is in the rotation, but at a slightly slower rhythm.
Okay. I'm not sure you're right about that. Maybe.
Well, it depends on what happens first time, weather-wise.
Everything-wise, right?
Yeah, but Nashville's a big event city that pull everything off. The one thing that screws up the rhythm of the rotation is the weather.
This
city knows how to do big events.
I think if it's as good as it can be, and it could be great, and again, I think the draft is a huge help. And they're going to get it. They were going to get us. If they never did the draft here, they're going to get a Super Bowl here because of
the stadium. Well, you get a Super Bowl as part of the
stadium. You're going to get one. Right. But I think the draft makes the rotation possible. And if it goes like that, then I think it might be, you know what, I'll take 58 for a week for that, for everything else that you get with it. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I'd agree with that.
All right. You had a thought also on the Chiefs.
Yeah, what stops
people
the Chiefs?
Are starting
I think people
to
are penning
count
in,
on the Chiefs.
Never mind penciling in the Chiefs as three-peating next year, which is just too easy. I mean, it was hard for the Chiefs this year, and it'll be harder for the Chiefs next year. So what stops the Chiefs? Well, number one, injury, right? If something happens to Mahomes, you're in trouble. Number two, opposition. Catching up or having a good year. Now, who's beaten them head-to-head? Brady twice and Burrow once. I'd fear Cincinnati as the best challenger because of Burrow. Here's the new wrench for me and a team I'll root for because I've got Kansas City-itis. I'm sick of Kansas City. The Chargers, because I think Herbert is capable, if he's well coached, of being a quarterback challenger to Mahomes, who could play high-level quarterback through a playoff series, finally with a coach who can manage a game and put together a game plan and use Herbert's skills and yardage and all of that for good and not evil. So I'm going to put the Chargers as a potential problem for them in their own division. right?
Wow. That's a lot of Harbaugh love. But I hear what you're saying.
And I'm not saying necessarily.
The AFC has a lot of potential teams
yes,
that could rise up.
There are a ton of
much
quarterbacks.
Much better conference.
Allen could do it again. I'm not a Lamar guy, but you know Lamar's got a huge chip on his shoulder not done things. It's a lot harder.
They lost
for them.
17-10. They didn't have a good day, but you can't tell me they couldn't have beaten
right.
them. They could have beaten
them. And it's
them,
a
absolutely.
Lot harder for them to navigate their way through than it is for San Francisco to get back.
No,
again,
for sure.
I'll say. Here's the other
here's
thing.
Here's my counter, though, real right. quick. I expect the Kansas City Chiefs to have some competent NFL receivers on their team next year. And if that's the case, I mean, that's the sobering thing about what they did is this offense this year at times was bad, bad.
Yes.
And they still won it all.
Here's some other things. They've got $14.5 million in effective cap space, which is 17th. Effective cap space means it accounts for them having 51 players on their roster and for their draft class. And their free agents scheduled to be Legarius Sneed, who's one of their two excellent cornerbacks.
As Charles said, you expect them to keep him. McDuffie was incredible.
McDuffie was phenomenal in that game. Sneed would be a
really
great
good.
Titans target if he were to get to market. Chris Jones, whose contract voids, who's a hugely influential player for them, whose current deal is a $20 million average per year. He's going to be a difficult guy for them to retain. A lot of people are presuming that he's gone, but they don't have huge problems. Donovan Smith, their left tackle, is another issue.
Who's a stopgap. I mean, they've got to get better there,
yeah.
too.
Willie Gay, a linebacker. Mike Edwards, safety. Drew Tranquil, a linebacker. Tommy Townsend, their punter, who's the best in the league. After that, it gets not that bad. Deion Bush, safety on this list. But it's not like free agency will tear them apart. Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed, the two big names at the top, and then they need wide receiver help. So,
and it's, of course, the most underrated part of this team is the drafting and developing they've done on the defensive side of the ball to have a championship-level defense. No one ever wants to say defense wins championships. It's all about Mahomes, and Reed. Fine. I mean, look, Mahomes did it, right? He was incredible. But this defense was a big part of winning a championship.
And you look at their division, again, new coaches with the Raiders who are trending up, though they don't have a quarterback solution necessarily. Harbaugh, who I think is a huge factor. And who am I forgetting there? Who's their fourth? Chiefs, Raiders.
Well, you got your Broncos. Got your
Broncos.
Got your Sean Payton, the genius.
Probably getting a new quarterback, but that's a there's some competitive coaches in that division.
Sure.
Now, I don't know about Antonio Pierce, but the Raiders are probably feeling as good about themselves as they have in a while.
Another quarterback
with a
team.
Basis.
Yeah.
With a basis instead of just behind a name.
All right, when we come back, it's the Rex Rant. Unless PK would like to take over with the PK Rant, we'll discuss
He's
during
a
nervous
the break. Guy
1025, very out. Nervous. 1025, 1063 of the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
This is the quality stuff you're getting at paulkuharski.com.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
Thank you. I was just something for our sister station.
Okay. Did I say Rex Road right?
Rex
Road. Rex Road. Okay, let me do that
no
again.
No worries.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
Have you not heard that before, PK?
No. They should have given him Rex Road or a mistake on purpose.
I mean, that was, but the fact that was a guess, apparently, like a genuine mistake, I think is pretty special. Makes me almost want to listen to Creed, but not quite. So,
I
we got a lot of ways we
I'm
can
ready
go.
To go here.
You want to go?
Yes.
We got a lot of ways we can go. Because one way that I actually
we
was just thinking
really
about.
We really have a lot of ways we could go.
Oh, we have a lot of ways we can go. Well, I mean, I think the people are yelling about the Pecorine statue. Someone called you a Mr. Clean cosplay wannabe, which is interesting.
This is interesting.
Very upset with
Look,
you.
Look, I like to make fun of people, but I generally stay away from physical attributes unless a guy's short and he has Napoleon complex as a result.
Oh, okay.
I'll go there.
But bald, we John can't Rich. Do. We can't make fun of bald, though.
No, you can make fun of bald. Okay. It's just there's no creativity to it. Like right. If I look at you and you have a funny nose and I say, oh, look at your nose, I'm generally condemned for making fun of you for a physical attribute.
Sure.
Right? And it's weak generally. Of me to do it. Right? I have no control over my hair, and I came to terms with being bald a long time ago.
See, this
also,
could be
a lot too. Of handsome people are bald. Like Bruce Willis, Ed Harris. Those are some good Andre Agassi. Handsome men.
Andre Agassi? I guess that's right. I still think of Andre Agassi with that flow.
I mean, got Steffi Graf. So, you know, those guys are all doing fine.
Yeah.
I'm doing fine. If you want to point a finger at me and say, ah, ha, 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 you're bald, that's fine. I survived the playground as a kid, and I'll survive.
Wait, you were bald at 8 years old?
No.
Okay.
I survived the sticks and stones then, and I'll survive the sticks and stones now. Really? But listen, this rant has gotten away from rants. You bring in some soft, small thing every week. And I think the people deserve a real rant. So okay. I'm prepared to provide a real rant if that's what we want.
Well, you got to go fast.
All right. Yesterday, technologically, everything fell apart in my house. Xfinity/Comcast, the Wi-Fi just goes out inexplicably for like a long period of time. And then I'm talking to them on DMs, and they're saying, you know, a fix can be delayed sometime, you know, due to, what does it say here? Some examples are permissions by city, county, or state permissions. So I say, listen, I pay you a ton of money for a lot of services that I don't even use, and now you're passing the buck. At least take accountability. And then they're sending me for credit. I have to fill out all kinds of forms. I say, you know what you haven't given me. Give me the money back. Now, my alternative is Verizon to be on a hotspot, except I get 2 bars on Verizon at my house, which isn't enough for me to have a hotspot. And they consistently tell me, no, the signal's fine at your house. So you both suck. And I need better service from you. And I keep threatening to leave, but I don't really want to leave because it's a pain in my ass. So step up your service, both of you. That's a rant, Joe.
Good rant. Okay, good rant.
Right.
We have enough time for me to ask you.
You told me to go fast. I could have slowed it down.
No, that was fine. We do have enough time for me to ask you, is the salary cap real?
Salary cap is real.
What do you think of people who say it's fake?
I think that they like to simplify things, and they can convince simple people of oversimplification of things.
That was way too gentle. I mean, I'm expecting fire and brimstone. I mean, I just laid that up for you. Just lobbed it up for you.
Yeah, I don't like my show to be about Stilly when I'm
here. Don't lie to me, man. Don't lie to me. I had a rant, too. Well,
you
I was.
Didn't. It was soft.
Yeah, it was a soft, weak rant. Yeah. I handed it off. Hey, look, man, it's not easy 5 days a week to have a pure outrage rant. And I've got plenty.
Well, let's get me on here 5 days a week, and I'll show you how to 5 day a week rant.
Hey, man, that's fine. That works for me, and you can just have the rant. You can so every day, Monday through Friday, you could come up. You could be outraged enough about something. Oh, okay.
Have you met me?
Well, yes. I mean, I and you do whine and complain about a lot of things. I agree, but still, 5 days a week. A little bit of a challenge.
I'll take 4 out of 5.
Someone asked, what beard oil does PK use?
Yeah, this guy just follows me everywhere. I think I blocked him on Twitter. He's just obsessed with the beard oil.
And C.N. Franklin said,
I don't know that it's funny.
Senator Palpatine on a heater against the Bald Battalion. Let's go. I agree with you in general. The making fun of attributes is you know, weak and too easy and all that. I mean, people, you know, will poke fun at my portliness sometimes. Well, I mean, you make fun of my gout. I mean, you know, you know how it goes, man.
Yeah, like amongst friends, if you're sitting around in a press room and stuff, you know, or at a bar with your buddies, that's like a different thing.
But I'm
like
actually okay making fun of my gout in public, like we are right now. Right. It's fine.
But like in a broad sense, like people you don't know look at you and they have a problem with you, and the best they could do is go, "You're bald." I mean, yeah, my 6-year-old goddaughter does that. you know, right. That's her level. I would expect better from you, but I'm learning not to.
Yeah.
Not well, you, the listener.
Yeah. Well, that is, well, like I'll me. Give credit.
You don't like the Pekka-Rinne statue? You're bald.
Yeah. So
whoa, that was an engaging, sophisticated debate.
It's Adam Nash, by the way, on Twitter or X at AdamNash0426. So that's the one who
anybody
did the
Mr.
Clean wannabe cosplayer. Anybody
who's got 0426 in their Twitter handle, I really, really care deeply about their opinion.
As LD points out, have you seen Mr. Clean? He's a badass.
Mr. Clean. I would love to have Mr. Clean's build and be able to wear a white T-shirt like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty tough. All right, we come back. We're actually going to get to our PK hour that was already scheduled today, and we have a lot more to get to. We talked a little bit about the Titans staff. We're going to get into the Titans, coaches, Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, a lot of discussion, analytics, all of it in the 8 o'clock hour, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.